Okay, let us compose our mind, develop the spiritual faculty of Saddha Virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahaṃ Sammā Sambuddho Bhagavā. Buddhaṃ Bhagavantaṃ Abhivādemi. Svākato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammaṃ Namassāmi. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghaṃ Namāmi. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we shall turn to page 1 to commence the official puja chanting. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Pānātipātā vairamani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Ādīna dhānā vairamani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Kāmesu micchācārā vairamani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Musāvādā vairamani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Surāmērayā majjhāpamādathānā vairamani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Okay, now we will chant the Patipā Puja offering of light on page 3. Gandha sarapa ditena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonodang. Gandha sambara yutena dopena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang. Puja bhajana motamang วันนากันดากุโนเปตังเอตังกสุมาสันตทินปูจายามิโมนินดาสสิริปาดาสารโรเหปูเจมิบุตังกสุเมนาเนนาปุณเณนามเตนาเชโหตุโมคังปุปาลายติยัตตาอิดังเมกายโยตตายติวินาสบาวังอาดิวาเสทุโนบันเทปานิยังคาริกาปิตังอนุกัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตมังอาดิวาเสทุโนบันเทปาเลปาริกาปิตังอนุกัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตมังอาดิวาเสทุโนบันเทโบจานังปริกาภิตังอนุกัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตมังOkay, now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light.May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma,that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are going to bless one, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits.May these offerings of fruits of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruitions possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings,May our spiritual faculties of Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer of merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the conditions and affinity to receive them. Sadhu.Sadhu, Sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect. Triple Gem. Bhutang Pujemi. Dhammang Pujemi.สังฆังปุเจมิ Okay, you can be seated. Then we can off the light for our meditation. Just relax body and mind. Maintain some form of attentiveness. Then silence your mind to train your mind. And for those who already have trained, you go ahead and meditate straight away. Yeah? For those whose spiritual faculty is already developed, you can just silence your mind, yeah, and just develop the meditative understanding through that silence. Okay. I will ring the bell in about half an hour's time.
Thank you.
For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. Then stabilize this mind state that you have trained so that you can be mindful in the midst of life. The real meditation is the daily mindfulness. You are here mainly to train the mind so that the mindfulness can stabilize. Then this mind state, which is the trained mind, it will listen to you. You want it to be silent, it will just be silent. Aware, it will just be aware. You want to locate it in anywhere within your kaya, you can. Then this mind that is in sati is very mindful, heedful, very sensitive. It can feel many things. Not only your vibration, your heartbeat. It's sensitive to your mental movement. Whatever minor stress or uncomfortableness within your content of consciousness, it can feel, it can be aware. And all of your mental intention, all of your movement of activity of mind, sankhara, this sati, this mindfulness, because it is so refined, it can be aware of them. That's how your meditation can become different. Okay, now we move on to the chanting. Page 6. Invocation to the devas. I will read the English translation, then after that we will chant the Pali. In this universe in their entirety, let the devas or deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the king of sage, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakawalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddalman Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavidu Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditatpo Vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho Ujjupatipanno bhagavato savakasangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato savakasangho Samichipatipanno bhagavato savakasangho Yadidam chatari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savakasangho Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakineyo anjali karaneyo anutarang punya ketang lokasati sadu sadu sadu. Okay, let us be respect to Tripajam. Vedang pujemi. Dhammang pujemi. Sanghang pujemi. You can be seated, then we shall continue with our Diamond Sutta. We are at chapter 15, I think. Oh, I written wrongly. Chapter 15, page 128. Oh, sorry, 125. Then we turn to page 1. We will recite the opening sutta. Verse for opening a sutta. The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Okay, turn to page 125. Chapter 15. The merits and virtue of holding the sutta. Subhati, a good man or a good woman, might in the morning give up as many body as there are grains of sand in the jar. Oh, this one we have finished. I think we are at page 126, commentary. Sakyamuni Buddha again called to empty born Subhati. If a man or a woman who cultivate the five precepts and the ten meritorious actions were to give up his body as many times as there are grains of sand in the Ganges River in the morning, at noon, and in the evening, the Buddha had previously spoken of giving one's body as a gift. Now he speaks of giving one's body repeatedly as many times as there are grains in the Ganges River. not only does the person give up that many bodies in the morning, he also does so in the afternoon. Furthermore, he gives up his body as many times as there are grains of sand in the Ganges in the evening. Nor is the offering for one day only, but for measureless millions of kapas. Yet the blessings and virtue derive when a person merely listens to the sutta and believes it with no reservation surpass those of the person who gives up bodies as many as there are grains of sand in the Ganges River each morning, noon and evening for measureless millions of kapas. So this is the analogy, yeah, that the Buddha has given. It just want to let you understand, yeah, that this cultivation of the Diamond Sutta is very different because it's at the level of full, complete wisdom. Means you cultivate without any mark of a self-cultivating or mark of a living being or mark of any Dhamma. So this type of cultivation is really, really different, way beyond the mundane people's cultivation, yeah, or even those of the, yeah, lesser vehicle, or they call it the small vehicle. If you just cultivate based on normal mind, which still has delusion, then it's very difficult to develop the perfection because it takes very long. That's why the comparison is given. It also gives you another understanding. The moment you develop this understanding, then you are determined to cultivate differently. Because when your wisdom arises, your cultivation becomes very different. You no longer do those things that you used to do before your wisdom arises, because you have straightened your view. You have understood a lot of things. That's why you remember Bodhidharma. Because even the emperor at that time, because he was trying to cultivate the Dhamma, he got very deep interest because of his past. But because his cultivation was at that level, he has not penetrated the marks, the true mark of non-self. There is no mark of a self cultivating, no mark of living being. But he hasn't penetrated all those things. That's why to him, doing good, cultivating merits, developing virtue and all those things constitute real merits. To them, they are very happy with offering, building monastery. As an emperor, he can direct the people to support the monastic, build temple, monastery, give them the food, facility and everything, support. Then he was so happy, he was full of happiness and joy. Then he want to know how much merits he has cultivated. That's why he asked Bodhidharma, after having done all this, how much merits do you think I have? You know, what was the reply from Bodhidharma? Yeah, zero. You don't have. Actually, he said, told the emperor, you don't have any true merits. What are true merits? True merits are action, meritorious action that you have done without any evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. What is greed? Selfishness, isn't it? So when you do that action, like support the monastic, the monk, if you do it out of merit, what is it? Your action is based on what? Huh? Greed for the merit. Understand not? It's not based on wisdom. You don't do because there is condition to do, and you know that it is meritorious. But you do where people told you a lot of merits. Wow, then because you want the merit, so your action is out of greed, selfishness, greediness. Yeah. Of course, he got no anger, he got a lot of joy, a lot of happiness. But then he think he do, understand? So the action is based on sakayatiti, self-delusion, that he exists, there is a person, an atta, who do. So again, that is delusion, self-delusion. So that action, which is even though virtuous, according to mundane people, mundane cultivator, but that virtue or goodness is tainted with the evil roots of greed, although subtle, not the greedy type, not the selfish type. It's just the greed for merits. They do because they think this is meritorious. They will receive merits. Just like when you do something because there is benefit to you, understand? Understand? There is advantage to you. I have helped these people. In the future, he can become very powerful, very special, very well connected. Or his parent, because he is from a rich family, a wealthy family. Later on, when I see him, he will help me. So you think of benefit. Otherwise, you don't want to do. So all these are based on greed for something. There is an intention behind. There is a motive behind. Otherwise, you wouldn't do. So the consideration behind has this evil roots. And this type of merits is nothing compared to a person who has gone beyond the understanding of a self, because the action is by the form and mind connected to the wisdom and the understanding. When the wisdom is and the understanding is there, the action is pure action. There is no mark of a self doing. There is no mark of a person gaining anything. Because nature's law is like that. When there is condition for the form and mind to do, you reap what you sow. You will just act. Then you will do it spontaneously. That's why those type of merits are very different. So in cultivation, you have to understand, you can waste your time cultivating all those type of merits. But initially, you got no choice, understand? You have to start from scratch, understand? Where you don't understand. But as you mature, as you develop the further understanding, then you realize no point doing that type of cultivation, understand? That's why sometimes, especially those Kayamita who are observant, when you go with me on spiritual trip, when there is pindapat or whatever offering, oh, they say very meritorious, but a lot of monks, they are very virtuous. After Vasa, they come out and all those things. But then, if you are observant, you realize without condition, I didn't do. I didn't even, like you all, make aspiration or thing. But during the early day, I do. Because the condition was there, and when that time I do, I already have the understanding. That's how I do. Then when there is condition, like certain condition, I will still do. Not to say my nature cannot do, it can do. But then, it got no more meaning, understand all these things. You still want all this for one, because you have realized that type of cultivation, which, just like Sakyamuni Buddha say, you can do this morning, afternoon, and evening, for millions and millions of aeons and aeons and aeons. But you cannot compare that merit even to somebody who understands this Diamond Sutta and put it to cultivation. Even four stanza, the wholesomeness and the merit surpass all of what you have done. Understand? That's why you cannot do, no point. Unless there is condition to do. And this form of mind that comes is very different. Because the nature understands that this is not me. Like I always tell you, this breath is not me. But it's karmically conditioned out the form of mind for this nature to come to perform the function of a living being, to perform the thing that this nature needs to perform based on its vows, its affinity, its understanding. Then to live life, to understand life, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. These are the things that the form of mind can allow you to do and have. That's why the Heart Sutta say, when you realize true emptiness, life become wonderful. That's why true emptiness is wonderful existence. The meaning is just this. When you understand, you know how to use this form of mind appropriately, and it becomes so beautiful. So now you understand. Yeah? So all this analogy is for you to develop the understanding, so that when you cultivate diligently, when you realize the awakening, the penetrative understanding, then after that you continue with your cultivation, the Bodhisattva way and all those things, your cultivation becomes very different, way beyond all those mundane cultivation. Then after that you realize, no wonder the perfection of Sammasambuddhahood is so different. The wisdom, the understanding, the parami that come with it is so different. That's why there is no comparison at all. That's why it's so powerful. It is like on a different dimension. Now you understand? Yeah? That's why this Diamond Sutta is a very unique and powerful sutta. And all this cultivation can be developed. It's not difficult. When you have the faith, sadha, then when you persevere through your spiritual zeal, virya, everything will unfold. The only thing you need is sincerity. Sincerity, faith, and perseverance, or diligence. These three things bring forth the way. Okay, I will read on. If you got any question, you just raise your hand. Then we can discuss it. With no reservation means that the listener has no doubt or no uncertainty, but believes wholeheartedly. Actually, that word should be, listener has no uncertainty, but believes wholeheartedly. Means without any reservation, means the faith is very strong. When one uses life and body as a gift, one is merely practicing the giving of wealth. This implies materialistic giving, understand? And the second type is the gift of life. So these are dana parami at the form and form level, mainly form level. But when one hears the sutta, he receives the gift of Dhamma, through which wisdom is obtained. That's why in the three types of giving, you remember? The gift of life, the gift of materialistic wealth, then the last one is the gift of truth. That's why the gift of truth is the highest. The gift of materialistic belonging or wealth is the first level. And even that one got its condition. If you want to realize the highest gift for materialistic giving, the Buddha said you must satisfy three conditions. It's stated in the Abhidhamma. In Pali, they always recite it as such. Somanasa sahagatang, jnana sampayutang, asangkalikang. So these are the three conditions. Somanasa sahagatang means, sahagatang is rejoice. Somanasa is like at all time. Before you do the offering, when you do, and after you do, you have joy, you have happiness. Then after that, the second one is jnana. Jnana means wisdom. With wisdom, you understand that this is wholesome. meritorious. That's why you do out of wisdom, not out of greed for the merit. You understand that this is meritorious, that's it. But you don't have any greed for those merit as well. Like I told you all, at one time, when I cultivate, I cannot like want to do, cannot. No condition, forget about it. But got condition, it do. Even though it know that these are meritorious, wholesome, very, very good. But with wisdom, you must not be greedy to do. Don't just because you heard that people say, oh, Katina, highest merit, offering robe is highest merit. Then you don't even understand what constitutes Katina and what constitutes Katina robe. There's only one Katina robe, which is the white robe that was offered by the main sponsor. The other robe are not Katina robe. They are only just offering of robe, understand? But because you think the monk has done 3 months retreat, they are very virtuous. Then people tell you once a year only you can do and all of this. So that greed, you chase after all this. For me, different, my nature, no condition, I don't go. Then the other thing you have to understand is when you have this understanding and cultivation, your parami is already so different. You no longer go after all this type of merits, understand? And I can tell you, when you make offering to Triple Gem, even in your house or in the puja, that one is equally powerful when you know how to do it. When you do it with the faith, the sincerity, mindfully, then with the understanding that the form in mind is the form in mind, is the vehicle that comes for you to do, because this form in mind recognizes the mundane existential world's law of karma, understand not? It recognizes relationship, then it recognizes the what they call mundane action. That's why when you pay respect, reverential salutation is a meritorious action. When the form and mind keep its precept, is a meritorious action. When it make offering, is a meritorious action. But it involves the form and mind, understand or not? These are mundane. That's why mundane world is the condition arising world. That's why the law, karma, the Four Noble Truths, all this exists. But in true emptiness, all this doesn't exist. So you have to understand the form and mind is still subject to all this. That's why when you come with a form and mind, this form and mind cannot simply do things, understand not? If you want to build up your karmic nature, this form and mind has to do things in accordance with nature's law. That's why you have to develop those parami, those meritorious action, those wholesomeness, those wisdom and understanding, that cultivation to avoid all evil doing and purify your mind. Then as you develop the understanding, the awakening, you straighten your view, then you do without any mark of a self as a self-doing. Then later when you understand that there is no living being, then you become different, understand? But when you know that they are all form and mind, he know you, he know me, it doesn't mean you can simply do what you like, you know. Oh, I don't kill, form and mind only, element only. Cannot. Your law of karma will go after your karmic nature, your form and mind. Cannot. But that wisdom is for you to apply differently, understand not? Means when you are born into this world, the form and mind come. This form and mind got its duty, understand not? If you become a monk, you got a duty as a monk. If you become a family man, married life, you have a duty as parent. Then initially as a child, you have your duty as a child. And all this, you have to understand, you have to perform. Otherwise, karmic will hit you. You can love, you have to have love, fellow piety, gratitude, respect, sincerity, honesty, Whatever goodness, gentleness, pleasantness, all these virtues you must have. You can love your loved one to the fullest. But this wisdom, he know you, he know me, is for you to develop the wisdom not to attach and cling when there is something that condition the negativity or condition certain what they call reality to arise in this form of mind or your loved one. The first noble truth reality, anasana. Like your loved one go through the reality of birth, always sickness and death, separation and all those things. So that you don't attach, anasana. Yanasana. Can you follow? You do your duty because you have this wisdom and understanding that this is coming. Form and mind has to do his duty. That's how you do. You must love. You must have filial piety, respect, gratitude and all those things, contentment. But then if anything were to happen to your own body or your loved one or your possession, your wealth, then you must not be deluded. Then the ultimate truth come in. He know you, he know me. There is no such thing as my loved one die or pass away. You understand? They are just dependent originating, no reality, form and mind, form and mind. Even this very body don't belong to you. That's why you will not worry about this body getting sick, getting old or die one day. No more such delusion. You no longer grieve over what happened. Especially getting older. A lot of people cannot understand this noble truth. Getting old. Later on you will understand. Well, most of you are not that old, are not that young anymore. You are experiencing this reality. And this reality can be very beautiful when you understand. But when you don't understand, I tell you, it can be really miserable. Miserable. He will afflict living beings. So these are the understanding, the two aspects. You know what are the two aspects or not? The condition and the unconditioned. You have to have both the understanding, the wisdom, so that you can live life, so that you will not be afflicted. Otherwise, you cannot survive in this world. If you cling to the unconditioned, then you will have wrong view and do all those funny things where you haven't developed the true insight and wisdom, the Noble Eightfold Path. You haven't understood the law that governs life and existence within the conditioned world. The conditioned world has its law, has its what they call pancha niyamas to govern them. And that one is all impermanent, leading to suffering, non-self, empty, no reality. But in true emptiness, all this doesn't exist. That's why as a form of mind when you come, you have to train the form of mind so that this form of mind connect back to the true mind, the true nature. The mind realizes itself and sees and develop the wisdom, the awakening. Then it understands. Then after that it becomes beautiful. Then it can live life to the fullest. That's why true emptiness when it's realized, life becomes wonderful. Life take a turn, become meaningful. You're no longer like before, deluded, suffer, miserable. So these two aspects need to be understood. That's why the green book, you must read them. Who are you? What are you? That one you must penetrate. Then only you can live. Then only you can become a true human being. Because when this form of mind is connected to that wisdom, this form of mind become enlightened, noble one. But this fellow is not you, anasana, because it is condition arising, dependent originating, supported by condition. It's not a permanent unchanging entity that you can hold on to, cling on to, and grasp on this to, and say, this is me, this is I, therefore this can be mine. No, there is no such thing. That's why this understanding is very different, very penetrative, very powerful. That's why this cultivation is so difficult. Do you know why it's so difficult or not? Yeah. There's condition, that's why I can explain to you all. Yeah. Do you know why it's so difficult? Difficult in the sense that just like what we have gone through and understood, every time you come in a form of a vehicle and a tool. What is that? Yeah? Form and mind. Okay, I better write it down. After that, when we do the transfer of merit and sharing of merit, remember to remind me. Yeah? We are Sister Han, I think the brother passed away about 2 weeks ago. Yeah. So she wants us to help share some merits. He is a Catholic, Christian, but no problem. We will invoke the appropriate understanding and condition for his well-being. You see, when you come, it's in the form of a form and mind. So this one, there's a consciousness trapped inside. Then there's a physical form. Physical body or form. So these two become the five aggregates of form and mind. And this is what we call the human being. And this is not you. This one is condition arising, causal phenomena. Now let us develop the understanding why I say the cultivation is not easy. So when this one come, due to karma, So this is karmically conditional. Condition. So this is a karmically conditioned form of mind, the vehicle and the tool that you come. So this one, every time it come, how long you think this one lasts? Yesterday's statistic, very good. They came out with the Malaysian one. Chinese is higher. Chinese 77.6. Then Malay 74.3. Indian 71.5. So you take average. Maybe 76, 75 or 76. 75.5 maybe. You ask yourself, let's say 75. First 25 years, what you do? You born as a kid, you come out, you play, then you go to school. Deluded. Went through suffering, life and all. But because you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, condition is supported by your karma, you are what you are because of karma. So if your karma is not good, what happened? Born into a poor family, terrible family. The parents also neglect you and all those things. And you have to strive through life. Then if you got negative karma, you get all those things that you did to people. If last time you are irresponsible, you abuse your children, or as a stepmother, or stepfather, or parent or grandparent, you abuse your siblings. then sometimes as parents you neglect your duty. So when you come, you reap what you sow. You become the victim. People abuse you. People neglect you. Then you have to go through a tough life, miserable life. Yeah. Then after that, what happened? Even let's say you're very lucky, born in a good family, pampered, and become. Yeah? The second generation kid, most of them are. Yeah? They enjoy life. They don't know the hardship of life because they didn't go through the process of life, rank and file, or anything. So they are being pampered. So they don't have this, what they call survival skill. They become dependent. Then when the parent no more, they got big problem. They don't even know the beautiful car and the beautiful house, how the road tax insurance are paid or bought, and how to buy them, how to renew them. Then the house, how the house become theirs. Yeah, every year you have to pay assessment, rent, quick rent. Then you have to have that title. Then you need to know what ownership is for. But all these kids may not understand. Let's say your karma is not so bad. Huh? Then you go to school, come out, graduate, then you work. Most of the time I ask you, at what age do you seek the truth or Dhamma? Huh? That's why you don't stand a chance. Most people are very late. After you seek the Dhamma, how long it take for you to develop this wisdom and understanding? Then only start your cultivation. No? At least 20 years. 20 years also lucky already. Unless you have your past. Yeah. Like what I went through. My nature just very strange. After Form 4, Form 5, 1971, it just broke. He wanted to look at the sky, the planet, the star system. Then he inquired, who am I? What am I? What am I doing here? Such an insignificant human being. One of the 5-6 billion on this planet Earth. And the planet is only one of the planets of this star system, our sun. And our sun is only one of the miserable billions and billions of stars. Who are we? What are we? But then, that one started to probe. Then when I went to the uni, my nature starts to connect to the Dhamma. Actually, before I went to the uni, when I was in lower six, I think, end of lower six, before upper six, I received this book, Chief Reverend's first edition of the White Buddhist Belief. Then the moment I saw the Four Noble Truths, I said, no need to search it, this is it. That's why I went all out to understand this teaching and cultivate it. Then when I graduated in the year 1979, actually I stopped my meditation. I didn't do it so regularly as when I was a uni student. When I was in the uni, the first day I arrived, I suddenly bumped into Chief Reverend giving a talk at the Science Faculty, I tell you. Somebody brought me there, my unimate, engineering student, unimate. Then after that night, I came back. He said, look inside. He pointed at the forehead. I didn't know. I thought the mind was there at first. Yeah, he also didn't know. I think he didn't point to the heart. So I looked inside my brain. Then, very funny, you know, my mind, automatic one, you know, it can just lash on anything. You know. Then I saw a bright light there. Then the mind, the awareness, and the attention just stay there. Then it becomes so quiet and so still. So I thought that was meditation. Then after that, you know, want to experience things playful. So he said, look inside. So I looked inside. I saw the white, bright spot. Then my mind locked into it, stay there. Yeah, I can concentrate very well. Then after that, I give it a push. No, that mind went, you know, into another dimension. No? Then it went into this dimension of what they call infinite space. No? The space is just like unending one. No? Then this mind, It's like a spacecraft or what, but it's not the size. It's just the awareness that is aware that this mind is actually moving into this spacious, very, very spacious. They call it the infinite space. It just travels inside. Then as it travels, it becomes like the unknown. See, the unknown. Then this nature, very funny, you know, it withdraw. Yeah, it doesn't want to go. Yeah, but there was no fear, it withdraw. Then after it withdraw, I felt an intense calmness, you know, stillness. You know, then I say, maybe Anna, first time, come out. So I thought half an hour. I look at my watch. I started at 12 because I wait till my roommate sleep. 4 hour there already, you know. But to me, it's like half an hour only. And I never meditate before. After that, that state, that mind state, that calmness, that stillness, that silence, stayed with me for almost a week. Then I thought, oh, this is real meditation. That's why I was so calm, so still, so peaceful. Then my metta was very strong at that time. You know. So I meditate quite regularly at that time. That's why when I was staying with my housemate outside, after I came out of college, second year I had to stay outside. They call me her senior, Wo Xiao. I don't know why, all those ladies call me. But when I go out with this group of people, sometimes Buddhist society or even we all go for, as students, you know, you got our field trip, Sometimes we go this, what they call, your one nagara, taman nagara. Yeah? Then sometimes we go this various type of Mima land and all those things, Genting or whatever. Every time they all go there, they play guitar, they sing, they have their fellowship and all. So I will just sit there in silence. That's why they said, Hersio, no need to call him, Hersio. Then sometimes I like musical instrument. I will blow the harmonica or the flute. Then I like to stay alone. That's why all the roommates, they know, that, especially the girls, they say that one monk, no need to talk to him. So because of that, my nature was very different. But when I graduated, I started working. Then I touch money. Then I realized the importance of money. You must have money. Then because of that, I meditate less. Then I realized this stillness, this so-called absorption, I didn't go into that type of traditional one-pointedness jhana. I went into continuous mindfulness. And my stillness here at the heart here, is like a layer of energy. I used to give the analogy. It's like a steel rod inside there, you know, very steel one. Nothing can move this hard one. Even you pour hot water or lightning, thunder or whatever, it can't even disturb it. At the most, it's on the peripheral, like re-vibrate at the peripheral. It cannot touch the middle. That's why at that time it's so steel. And the metal is so strong, it flow out from here. Then because of the working condition, when I start to touch money, I realize this one inside start to move. The stillness gone. Then this one start to move. Want to study some more. Want to go and take up law. Want to do MBA. Then want to like develop my career, perfect myself and have a lot of money. Then I realized, hey, what is going on? How come I can move again? How come got this movement again? Then I realized it's not right already. Something wrong already. Then I started to investigate. But that time, I haven't met any teacher. So I didn't know. But I recall what the Buddha said. The glass of water. When you stir it, the impurity or the sediment, they will float up. If you don't stir it, after a long time, it settles down, the water is clear. But the sediment is still there, and it's not rooted out yet. then I know already. All this concentration doesn't work on. Then I just want to develop the understanding, how to meditate to develop the wisdom. Then later on, 1986, when Kuan Yin came with the Triple Gem and tell my nature, you have to move fast. Not much time left. Immediately after that, I woke up. I become fully aware. It's like I never sleep. I just came out of that dream. And it's so clear, so vivid. Then I realized I have to move. How? I don't know. Then after that, very funny, you know, the book come, the guide come, the teacher come, everything come. That's why I like that verse. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Very true. Because of the coming and the condition, the vow, the aspiration, the understanding. So all this unfold, then they came. Then from 86 to 89, very few people can do that. Within 3 years, cultivate everything. Then after that, my last guy, the last 3 years, the second 3 years, until 92, actually I don't need him. But because of him, I shortcut my cultivation by at least 10 to 15 years. He showed me the gateway. That's the only thing. He never really teach me anything. But I'm very grateful because of my vow, my pure wish. That's why the condition arise and he came and he did what he has to do. Then after that, the nature just become different. And since 1992 until now, no more. He also predict to me, my last teacher, the last guy, is it, when no more earthly being or earthly guide can guide you, they will send an astral guide up there for you. Then 20 or years later, when I met him, first thing I wanted to let him know is there was no more astral one also didn't come. Not astral TV, astral, A-S-T-R-A-L. Astro. After they go and transcript Astro, A-S-T-R-O, then they go on the Astro TV, look for that channel, Brother Teo Talk One God. So this is what happened. This form in mind, when it come, when you connect, you don't know. And after, when you start your search, you don't know. And the trouble is because of your karmic obstruction and all those karmic things that you committed. I tell you, initially you will go to Holland first. Go to Holland for many years for holiday or pay back your karmic. Then if you have the right condition, you know how to ask for forgiveness, seek repentance, then vow not to repeat all this, then follow the advice of the Buddha, avoid all evil, do good, cultivate accordingly. And then only you stand a chance through your, like Sakyamuni Tishan, after your session, your whatever religious routine or spiritual session, you share merit, transfer merit, and make aspiration. Invoke power of merits for causes and conditions for you to avoid all the foolish, the heedless, meet out with the wise. So the enlightenment in the here and the now, Nibbana, can be realized. So if you make the aspiration, then it will create the condition. But you have to do it with understanding. Then it will start to create the condition for you to avoid the heedless and the foolish. But you must understand what constitutes evil, what constitutes heedlessness, foolishness. If you don't even have that understanding, you make whatever vow or aspiration also no use. Because you continue to do the wrong thing. Like you want to vow to be successful and become a doctor or an engineer one day. But you keep on play a fool with your academic career. You didn't want to study. You think can go and buy the degree and all those things. Or you want shortcut. Exam, you fail. That's why you cannot succeed. So cultivation is quite similar. You have to put in the hard work. You have to strive on. You have to have the faith. You have to determine. Then only the condition unfold. Then after that, let's say you're successful. Maybe after 10 or 20 years. Most people think more than that because they don't have the parami, the past cultivation. And I realize a lot of people get lost on, do all the thought-based meditation and can be trapped there for very, very long. Not only many lives, even for eons and eons and eons. That's why I keep on saying that type of meditation you do, you are wasting your time. Understand? Huh? Then how can you cultivate? How can your spiritual nature progress? Understand? Huh? Every life you come, the window is so little. And the worst is when there is no sasana. How? Now at least there is a sasana. With the sasana also, a lot of people are not serious. But they don't have the teaching, the guide that can really guide them, explain all this to them. So you ask yourself, how difficult is it for the form and mind, life after life when it comes, to even contact the Dhamma, to be born during the sasana, to have affinity with all these great beings, the triple gem. That's why you have to take refuge, you have to arise the condition, you have to make the bodhisattva vow and determine life after life to have this. Otherwise, you will be like the countless being, the puttajana, the heedless one. You will roam the length and breadth of samsara for eternity, the birth and death. You get lost like the knower, become the traveler in space and time for eternity in samsara. So this is why this cultivation is very difficult if you don't understand. If you don't have the condition to have this understanding when you come. That's why because of my understanding, every line this form in my come, it know what to do. Then because of that past determination vow, the bodhisattva vow, it vow to have this understanding. Every life it come or it choose to come. So because of that, naturally, my condition, I was not really born in a very good family. But not too bad. I was born into a very simple parent, uneducated, from a small town. But very funny, we don't have problem with 3 meals and shelter. Food and shelter, no problem. Education also no problem. Although from that small town, very difficult to come out. But because of karmic, I look back, I told myself, this cannot be like luck or coincidence. No such thing as luck. Everything is like already in the nature's law, condition already. And everything just unfolds. Like you are so blessed. And things can just happen like that. That's why the nature has the understanding that this nature's law is very powerful. Law of karma is very powerful. That's why you cannot play a fool with karma. Like the Buddha said, all evil you have to avoid. Then you realize the beauty of his teaching. And when you have this teaching, life becomes beautiful, wonderful. The third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda, unfold. You got to reap the fruit of your hard work, your cultivation. Then the moment you connect, like Sakyamuni Buddha at the age of 35. So this line also, 1989, age 35, because I was born in 1954. So at the age of 35, you get to live this type of life, you know. The third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda, you get to live the noble life of a noble being, the form and mind that has this understanding. From that onward, life becomes meaningful, beautiful. Even though it's just moment to moment, impermanent, not real. But there is such thing as life, understand? It has its own reality. Because moment to moment, since then, every moment is so meaningful. It can be just with the moment in peace, silent, awareness, to experience all of the pristine beauty of life, beauties and wonders of life within the moment, within life itself. That's why every moment is so beautiful, so meaningful. even as I share, as I teach. There is no such thing as suffering at all. Although the form and mind is still the same, it still experiences all of the reality. But the mind, the understanding is beyond. That is connected with the wisdom is beyond. And every moment of sense experience is very beautiful. That's why it has a lot of understanding. And because of that, it has a lot of gratitude. Like I used to tell you, every time when this body, form and mind, is without sickness, this nature has so much joy inside there. Because it Tang is good karmic inheritance. It Tang is great wisdom and understanding that enable this form and mind to have this type of life so beautiful. Yeah. So this is the reason why I say cultivation is very difficult. Without the sasana, you are totally like in the dark ages. Every life, form and mind come. You don't stand a chance unless you have your karmic nature. Then sometimes once a blue moon, Pachika Buddha realized the Four Noble Truths through dependent origination when there is no sasana. Otherwise, the sound hearer cannot, because without the sasana, no Dhamma to listen to. Understand not? So sound hearer cannot. You have to be Pachika Buddha, who has the parami to realize the dependent origination on their own, and through that they will realize the Four Noble Truths too. Yeah. So, without sasana, this form of mind is like you don't stand a chance. You don't stand a chance. The odd is so small, like 0.00000, how many zero? Then at the end, one appear. Yeah. Like one in a billion maybe. Yeah. Have the chance to develop their wisdom and liberate. But with the sasana, actually a lot can make it. But then, the sasana doesn't last. Sasana. Even Sakyamuni Buddha sasana, supposed to be 5,000 years. Now it's about slightly more than midway, 2006. But you look at how it has deteriorated. How it has become so different from what he has taught. So if you look at all this, then you know how difficult it is to encounter the Buddha Dhamma. That's why Xuan Hua also knew the opening verse. He wants to remind cultivator and living being. And this is the Mahayana way of reminding the cultivator. For don't know how many aeons, or 500 million, not years, aeons. This type of teaching is so rare, you know. Then you recite, I now see it, hear it, and I vow to Phantom. You must vow sincerely to Phantom. That's why after that you vow life after life to have this understanding. Otherwise it's very difficult. Yeah. Actually, you really don't stand a chance if there is no sasana. Then if there is no affinity, you all have to thank your good karmic affinity and karmic root from the past. But most of you have very mixed one. Do you know that? That's why you have to go Holland first, go around first. They're stuck here, stuck there. But this life, when you have this understanding, you must determine to ask for forgiveness, do repentance, and determine not to repeat all this. Then life after life, to have this type of understanding, to follow the advice of the Buddha, like the Bodhisattva vow, all the thing I teach you all. You determine and do. Then life after life you come, you become beautiful. And this is how the sasana can be different, can be sustained. Then from one, you will touch the heart of many. Then the many can bring forth the collective consciousness to move, to change. Then the world can be a better world. Okay? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Don't be shy, rejoice louder. Every time. Last time you asked my wife, Achayantra used to tell the Thai people, there is this brother Teo, the family, they rejoice. The first to rejoice very loud. Before the talk finish, you go and borrow the Teo. And the first one that rejoiced very loud, when I hear the Dhamma, this nature open up, and it really rejoiced. Rejoicing also cannot. How to open up the heart? How to develop the merit like paise paise? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Why are you so shy? The thought is shy, not you. That's why the heedlessness and the conditioning, the habitual tendency make you like that. You are not like that. You are beautiful within. And you understand you are so beautiful. Okay, where are we now? Okay, I finish this page. Maybe then after that we open for Q&A. When one hears the sutta, he receives the gift of Dhamma through which wisdom is obtained. In order to open enlightenment and realize Buddhahood, one requires proper wisdom. If one only has the reward of blessing and lack true wisdom, he cannot open enlightenment. Understand not? You continue to do good, no use. Understand not? Without wisdom, your good is limited. You will get stuck. That's why you need wisdom. Therefore, the one who hears the sutta and is blessed with wisdom receives much greater blessing than the former. How much the more is that true when one uses pen and ink to write out the Vajra Sutta or receive holes, read, recite, and speak it for others? Subhati, the merits and virtue of the sutta cannot be conceived, inconceivable, or cannot be spoken of, inadequately praised or calculated. No matter how you imagine, you can never imagine the blessing and the wholesomeness of this sutta. The principles of the sutta are truly boundless. Boundless means limitless. It's beyond your wildest imagination, the merits that come with it. That's why after that, doing good is no more a priority. Because this type of merits far outweigh and outshine all those things that living beings do. No point. It is spoken by the Tathagata for those who have set out on the Vaivahika. If you just want to become a Sotapan or Sakadagami or Anagami or Arahant, then no need to work so hard. But then there is no such thing as you. That one is an illusion. So you say, I don't want to go the Bodhisattva way too long. Who is talking about that? The thought, understand, is still the ego, the I, too long. So I want to cut short. The mark of the self is so strong, and you want to awaken. That's why it's, to me, it's like foolishness, understand. Not until the mark of self is gone, you can never awaken. So forget about all this. So all those that strive very hard and like want to just realize the sainthood way and be sure at least 7 more lives he will become arahant, he or she will become, they still think he or she will become arahant. There is no such thing. You cultivate that way, you cannot even break sakayaditi, self-delusion, to realize the sotapannaship. That's why you have to have that understanding. Then when you cultivate sincerely with the silent mind, then you stand a chance. The silent mind is what you need. That is the true mind, the meditative mind, the awareness within. The Tathagata did not speak the sutta for small fruit sound hearer. This is for the Theravada. It was for the sake of people who are initially great vehicle bodhisattva that the sutta was spoken. So you have to understand this sutta is for the greater vehicle. Those who here have set out on the supreme vehicle, the sutta was not only delivered for those who have set out in the bodhisattva way, but also for those who aim straight for the Buddhahood or Buddha way and wants to take across the multitude of living beings. That is for those of the very highest unsurpassed Buddha vehicle. If a person receives, holds, reads, recites, and lectures the sutta for others, the Tathagata sees and knows such a person through the power of the heavenly eye. Such a person obtains inexpressible merits and virtue and sustains the work of a Buddha. He can obtain Anuttara Samyat Sambhohi, the unsurpassed proper and equal right enlightenment. So don't be unhappy when the sutta say he includes she. I remember last Tuesday, Yun Chan very cute. You know what she said or not? Huh? Tonight she's not here. Who can remember what she said? Huh? You cannot remember what she said. You didn't listen to the recording again. Yeah. She said, Brestio, which means the Buddha know you la. Remember? It's here in the sutta, such a person, the Tathagata sees and knows such a person through the power of the heavenly eye. And I said, like, you can recite this and share all this. The Buddha will know you. And I said, like, that's why Jun Chan said, Brestio, the Buddha know you la. I said, not me. My nature. This form of mind is not me. So because of that, you have to have this understanding. It's not the Buddha, it's the universe, the oneness nature, the source of all things. There is the Buddha nature. And because of that, the sutta say, your nature will be part of the oneness nature. That's why they can know you, know your nature. Mm-hmm. Okay, we stop here. You got any question? Oh, that one is fast, Oh, you're lucky, Still got 17 minutes. Okay, now we have Q&A sharing, So we stop here, This chapter is very important. Anybody wants to share their experience or understanding or ask any question, you can. The mic is here. You can put up your hand. Oh, everything understood. No more questions. In another 1 or 2 days, 2 days time, I think we will be. Some of us will be leaving for Anandagiri. Then also tonight, quite a number cannot make it because they have to prepare for Anandagiri and other things. Joyce called me, hey, she cannot come. Clifford also. Then Alicia and her husband also. Then I think Song not back yet. So tomorrow. Yeah, he's not going. But she told me she cannot come because there's something on. Then I think Yun Chan and Raymond also. They are. I think Yun Chan and Raymond is going. So they might be preparing for the trip and all those things. Yeah. Oh, second thing, you. Yeah, you. 不用 rest 的啦, 还有 rest. 那五天是 Jia Hong. First day go Bangkok, Jia Hong. But you must have the faith. All this spiritual trip, you must rejoice because when we travel as a group, the collective consciousness is different. Especially when you travel in my nature, you silent your mind. You benefit a lot. That's why I always say, relax, aware, then silent, have faith. Develop heedfulness, mindfulness. You become beautiful. But this Katina is very unique, meant to be also. A lot of things will happen. That's why the platform for the three great beings, I think, I don't know whether they have completed it or not. But anyway, we will be going there to chant the Heart Sutta again for 1 hour. No? Yeah, 7:30 in the morning. Which day? Second day. Yeah, before the Katina day. On the 5th. 6th is Katina. Then 7th, we fly back. That place got a lot of very beautiful beings there. That place is very, very unique. And our Kayan Mita got a lot of affinity with that Anandagiri Hermitation, Achana Chalo. It just happened, I think it happened about 5-6 years ago, our first trip there. Then after that, somebody within the Kayan Mita, I think, requested for the Papa to become sponsor for the Papa. Then I think end of the year we went, I think. That's why I didn't even know until we came back. After we came back, I think I remember Shokhun said, until we requested and Achan now has approval. He said, can you lead us? Oh, I said, can. Then I teach her how to draft the email. Then I edited it, then forwarded it back to her. Then she sent it out. That's why after that year a lot went, 2 buses, I remember. First time we visited him was 1 bus. Then that year, 2 buses. Then later on, he came, then he conduct retreat, then Kayan Mita also get to know him. Then some invited him to house Dana. Then he also give talk, I think, at 1 or 2 places. Earlier was Champaka Buddhist Lodge. Then later on, SJBA and other things. So, very fast, 5-6 years later. Then later on, don't know what happened, the condition arise. He wants to build the Kuan Yin platform. Then when he wanted to build, he was very, very uncertain. He asked around, then he's still not confident. But Theravada tradition in Thailand, nobody do Kuan Yin, seldom. Then he wanted to do it as a main one. Then he wrote to me. I said, you should do it because you have affinity. We all have affinity, Kuan Yin. And you can do it well because you are very artistic. And he do all those things very... He got this interest. He can do it out very well. I said, you should do. Then after that, he become more confident. Then he do. After he do, he's scared. He said, how can? He said, Kuan Yin only. Then somehow, I don't know what happened, Sakyamuni, the thing also came out. He said, I must have Sakyamuni. Then after that, Maitreya also came out. Then we sponsor all this. Not only that, even the Maitreya and the Sakyamuni, but we partake, I think. The Kuan Yin is fully sponsored by us. Then the whole platform, we donated and built. That's why that thing, that place, very strange. But I knew what happened already. It's Sakyamuni Buddha Sasana, supported by Kuan Yin, Bodhisattva, and Maitreya. But this line, this form in mind, 1986, Kuan Yin came. Then 2008 or 2009, I forgot already, Maitreya came. So these two great beings, they came to my nature and requested my nature to do something. Initially, it's to cultivate. Kuan Yin came that time, the message, 1986. He poured from the vase, the triple gem, on my hands in a straight line. 3. He said, you have to move fast, not much time left. Immediately, I become aware and I woke up. Then I pay respect straight away. Then this nature that time know how to thank Kuan Yin for her blessing, protection and guidance. That's why the guidance came, have to move fast. So after that, very strange, I determined to cultivate. But then the teacher came, the guide came, the book came, everything came. That's why the cultivation become very easy. And then every time I hear the truth, I read about the truth, I understand, my nature understand. That's how it moves so fast. Then within 3 years, everything just like the zigzag parcel just fall into place. And this nature just understand. Then the strange thing is, the right teacher will come at the right time to tell me the right thing. Then from there, I listen, and you know, sometimes they even don't even know what they were telling me. But the moment I heard, I received the message and I knew what I have to do. Then this nature just know what to do. Then after that, a lot of things happen. Then I keep on meeting these great monks and beings. That's why I say, when you are not in the spiritual field, you will never believe all this, because it's like fairy tale. It's like fairy tale. But the real happening is more fantastic than fairy tale. It come one by one and I show it to you. It can be so amazing. So amazing. Okay, we better end. Still got 9 minutes. I can take one more question. Any more question? You all got nothing to ask. So good. Everything understood. Yeah. Pastor Maito, Pamasri.
I think there is this part I couldn't understand because the last morning when I was reciting this Imina Punyang Kamena Mame Bala Samagamu Satang Samagamu Hotu Yawa Nibana Patia. You say avoid all foolish
and the healers.
Meet up with the wise. I can see that there's still duality in here, right?
Correct. But the thing is, when you make aspiration, you need to use word. Understand now? You need to use word. And these words are meant to be the Dhamma. So Dhamma within the conditioned world exists. That's why there is such thing as heedless, foolish, the wise. Understand now? Because these are the mark that the conditioned world use. And you need duality. That's why you need to know what constitutes evil when the Buddha say avoid all evil. When he say avoid all evil, it's for the form of mind, understand not? It's not ultimate truth. That's why there is still duality, because this is for the form of mind. Form of mind is subject to all this karmic law, duality, conditioned world, the nature's law that governs life and existence. So you need to understand what constitutes evil, to avoid all evil. So likewise, when you make aspiration for causes and conditions for you to avoid all the foolish and the heedless, you must know who are the foolish, who are the heedless. Understand? If you don't even know, you will associate with them. Understand? Let's say the Mangala Sutta say what? The first blessing is what? Not to associate with the foolish. Associate with the wise is the highest blessing, is true blessing. To stay at a locality where you can receive the Dhamma is true blessing. To take care of parents, do your duty is true blessing. To develop skill, mindfulness, heedfulness, wisdom is true blessing. That's why all this you will understand. So when you cultivate, you need to understand what constitutes heedlessness. So now the question I ask you, who are the heedless? Who are the foolish? If you don't even know who are they, then how to avoid them? You will go and associate with them. You only like parrots say, avoid the foolish and the heedless. Meet out with the wise. What constitutes wisdom? Who are the wise who you don't know? Because you look at the external, you look at the form, another. Wow, this one they say very good. Oh, this one, wow, got what title, PhD, and all those things. Then you run after. You think this is the wise one. It's not the way to identify this being. If you yourself don't go through the cultivation, you will not understand what constitutes heedfulness. What constitutes a noble one. And if you yourself have not gone through that process, you will not know what is heedlessness, who are the fools. Because when you are before, you know the Dhamma. When you are behaving that way, you look at your life throughout the day, you are heedless. You are never mindful, never aware. You are constantly lost in thought, arising the mental hindrance, the habitual tendency of reacting to sense experience. And that is heedless living. And you have been doing that for... And you can see whether a person is heedless or not. Then the foolish simply say things, not refined in their speech, action and thought process, and their noble eightfold path not there. That's why these are the foolish, heedless. That's why you have to avoid those who go out late at night, gamble, drink, womanize, break precept, do all those things without awareness, without mindfulness, without right view. These are the fools. That's why you have to avoid. You cannot associate with the fools and the heedless. That's why when you associate with the wise, you become different. That's why Kayanamitas constitute Dhamma friends who walk the path of Dhamma. They keep the precept. They cultivate mindfulness, heedfulness. So these are people who are not heedless. These are people who are heedful. They are not foolish people. They are very diligent. They have faith. They are very sincere. And this is how you identify. Then you look at them. How they talk. How they communicate. How they actually express themselves. How they live their life. Are they mindful? Are they heedful? You will know that. Some who talk a lot on heedless one, very snobbish or very egoic, and comment a lot on backbite and do all those things. All the precepts is not taken on. They are not refined at all. So these are the things you have to be mindful of, observant of. This is what cultivation is all about. It's not about the sutta. It's not about memorizing 5 years from my mind. Oh, rupa, vedana, sanya, sankara, vijnana. Feeling got 3 types. Craving also got 3 types. What for all this? These are facts. These are knowledge. No use, understand? No? The heedless are as if dead. No use. What constitutes heedless also you don't know. You yourself heedless also you don't know. But you rattle, understand? The heedful never die. So you thought you were very heedful. You actually full of knowledge. You are not heedful at all. Heedful means to be in the midst of life, ever mindful, to cultivate noble eightfold path. The 4 right efforts and all those things. The silent mind. The true mind. If you cannot even touch that and have that meditative mind or silent mind, how can you be mindful? You cannot be mindful. How can you be ever mindful? If you are not ever mindful, how can you be heedful? That's why the whole thing is so clear. And heedfulness is not what you think so easy. It has to be done in the midst of life, daily mindfulness. That's why it's so different. The whole cultivation is so different. Able to be mindful is just the beginning. Then when you stabilize it, it's just the further step. Then after you are ever mindful, you have to transfer this ability from the retreat into life. In the midst of life, then you can maintain the spiritual faculty and the ever mindful state of mind to cultivate noble evil. Then only you are heedful. And that is the beginning of real cultivation. When your daily mindfulness is very stable to cultivate noble eightfold path, that is just the beginning of real vipassana, satipatthana, the 4 foundations of mindfulness. Or you think sit and sit and sit, and suddenly one day awaken, fantastic meditation. Wow, I experienced this. So what? Go out to life heedless again. Okay? That's how I answer your question. So this duality, don't worry about it, because this is still the existential world. These are Dhamma. That's why Kuan Yin said Dhamma exists. The Four Noble Truths exist. within the existential world. That's why the Buddha has to use this to teach, to share. But in ultimate truth, that's why Kuan Yin say, in ultimate emptiness, in true emptiness, all this don't exist. Because these are mundane, condition arising, dependent originating. These are not absolute truth. Because within the true emptiness, there is no condition. It's the unconditioned. That's why within the unconditioned, there is no this, no that. That's why there is no me, I, living being, four noble truth, old age, sickness and death. No such thing. Where the unconditioned is never born. Understand? There's no condition for its arising. It was there before anything. That's why it's the original nature. Understand? The Mahayana say, 本来的面目, original nature. That's why it's the source of all things. From there, everything arises. Beginningless is the beginning of the first thought of ignorance. Beginningless means there is no time for it to begin. Whereas the unconditioned is the unmanifest. Unmanifest means unborn. If it's unborn, how can it die? How can it experience old age, sickness and death? How can it have Dhamma? How can it have anything? That's why in true emptiness, the unconditioned, there is none. That's why Nibbana is cessation. You cannot talk about it. Cannot be expressed, cannot be spoken like the Tao. Tao ke Tao, Fei Chang Tao. The Tao that can be expressed, spoken, or talk about is not the true Tao. Okay? Okay, we better end. We should thank Padmasri for the question. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Very good. Okay, now we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merit. But before that, I would like to, on behalf of all Kayamitas, we would like to help out in whatever we can for Sister Han's brother. His brother, I think, Mr. Han, Hong Kong, really Hong Kong, the name. the name. I know. Han Hong Kong. How you pronounce his actual name? Hong. Hong is Hong, correct? Okay. Hui Rong will know. Hong Yuan. Yeah. Now maybe we just call him by Mr. Han, Hong Kong. Hong Kong Han, Okay, let us recall to mind all of our wholesomeness that we have cultivated and together share over the last 2 hours plus. May arise the causes and conditions for this wholesomeness to be shared with all beings. Later on, we will start off with the devas and all those things. Then, may also arise the causes and conditions for Sister Han's brother, Mr. Han Hong Kong, to have the good condition to realize whatever that he wants to realize, his good and noble wishes. As a Christian, as a Catholic, then may he have a better hereafter life, so that he can continue with his whatever belief system to develop the goodness, the wholesomeness, so that he too can be a blessing to the world. Whatever religious belief you hold is not important. He is the person who must have the understanding of the teaching. If you have the good understanding, whatever religious label you hold is no different. You are not defined by the religious label. You are defined by your own goodness and your own virtue and your own wisdom and kindness. So we will now invoke the sharing of merits with the devas. Then after that, finally, we share with all beings, including Sister Han's brother. Okay. Akasatta cha bhumata devanaga mahendika punyang tang anemoditwa chirang rakantu loka sasana itta wata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anemodantu sabba sampati siddhya idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect mindfully to Sakyamuni Buddha, Queen Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones.